Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Accepted. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord." Verse 9. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." The word "accepted" in Strong's is number 2101. It comes from two other words, meaning fully agreeable, accepted, or well-pleasing. The word "labor" in Strong's is number 5389. It comes from another couple of words in the middle voice, meaning to be fond of honor, that is, emulous, eager, or earnest to do something, to labor, or to strive, or to study. If you're born again, walk by faith and not by sight. Paul's confidence to be with the Lord in His kingdom came from developing his ability to communicate with the Lord consistently and obey Him in every area of his life. Working hard, he was able to hear, trust, and obey perfectly. Paul was fond of the Lord honoring him by the Spirit in complicated situations. With stress and fear increasing, many have lost their eagerness to strive or labor in complicated situations. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant and has prepared works in advance, especially for you to do in your lifetime. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. His grace is sufficient for what He requires. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it's increasing in these last days. Now is the greatest time to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Verse 18. "That they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Verse 19. "Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Whatever you're holding on to now in this world will stop you obeying God perfectly. To know and be able to obey God from the heart in trials and difficulties is success. Those with some limited financial success can become high-minded and led into temptation. Matthew 6 and verse 13. "If your flesh is not dead already on God's schedule, don't blame the devil. The high-minded do not lay hold on the gift of eternal life. The rich trap themselves in a prison, serving a comfortable life through a confidence in the flesh. Remove your spiritual blindness in situations where you rely on common sense and reason. Your flesh is utterly and completely corrupt, so you will remain spiritually blind if you listen to it. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is in the book of James chapter 1, and reading verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Converted Jews scattered in the persecution were getting angry and frustrated in different cultures that were not their own. Those using their minds trying to come to the truth will also get frustrated and angry in the same way as this world passes away. God is chastening his people and offers a spiritual education through repentance and conviction. The Father does not want anyone to perish through a lack of conviction. At the final judgment, it would be too late for anyone to humble themselves and repent deeply. If you do not know how to repent, boldly approach the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and make a fresh start and use godly sorrow to get to the root of sin, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 to 22. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and he preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The law of God is spiritual, Romans 7:14. And read out loud was designed to bring conviction and godly sorrow. More revelation insight was given to the Jews on an individual basis that humbled themselves and repented deeply. On the day of Pentecost, some were devout, but others referred to Peter and the disciples as drunk men when they saw them filled with the Spirit, speaking in native languages. Acts 2 and verse 13. Through Peter, 3,000 Jews were introduced to the Holy Spirit, but they did not experience tongues of fire on their heads like the 11 disciples. Acts 2 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit personally convicted them of serving the devil and killing their own Messiah on the cross. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. So now both Jews and Gentiles need to hear God in exactly the same way, taking up their cross daily. Jesus took captivity captive, Ephesians 4 and verse 8, and gave the church the fivefold ministry. The church is now built on those with a spiritual education and the right foundation that easily come to repentance and truth by the Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Pride starts with thinking You are standing firm when you should be listening. It leads to a fall. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. There is always another level of pressure if you want a golden crown and white robes in heaven. Revelation 4 and verse 4. The last can still be first if they are good at repentance. The pressure God applies is designed to expose idols that stop you from asking God more questions or calling on God from a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. In the Living Bible, Deuteronomy 8 verses 1 to 5 says this. You must obey all the commandments I give you today. If you do, you will not only live, you will multiply and will go in and take over the land promised to your fathers by the Lord. Do you remember how the Lord led you through the wilderness for all these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to find out how you would respond and whether or not you would really obey him? Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to both you and your ancestors. He did it to help you realize that food isn't everything and that real life comes by obeying every command of God. For all these 40 years, your clothes haven't grown old and your feet haven't been blistered or swollen. So you should realize that as a man punishes his son, the Lord punishes you to help you. In the wilderness, God chastened his people, but after 40 years, only Caleb and Joshua survived from a whole generation. Jesus' ministry was based in the wilderness and did not fail. The unbelieving Jews that were looking for a political Messiah were told that they had not become like sheep following Jesus in the wilderness, and therefore did not believe. John 10, 24 to 26. Paul, before he was converted, could have at least gone out to meet John the Baptist and Jesus or his disciples, but he did not. Jesus said in John 20 and verse 29, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 20, I'm reading verse 29. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 20 and verse 29 says, And Jesus said unto him, because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe, trust, and have faith? Blessed and happy, and to be envied, are those who have never seen me, and yet have believed and adhered to and trusted and relied on me. Thomas, when he saw Jesus in the same physical body, believed. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, submitted and by hearing and obeying, did the will of God. God raised him from the dead to prove that he never sinned, and that showed us the way to eternal life. Thomas knew Jesus, but had doubts because he listened to his flesh. Eternity starts now when you become a sheep, led and controlled perfectly by the Spirit in complicated situations, by trusting God with all your heart. If you have repented deeply, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your hearts now should have priority. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he's been made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers, the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In the book Light, revised edition, in chapter 16, How to Be Exalted of God, on pages 106 to 107, Joseph Hedgecott writes, your spiritual progress will be severely hindered if you humble yourself for a little while, but then take over lordship when God begins to tear down what you have built. A lot of believers spend their entire lives operating in this way, and they never grow up spiritually. They're never exalted of God because they continually resist his work in their lives. Another picture of how God works is seeing yourself as a barrel full of dirt that has to be emptied. God will do the work even if he has to do it one spoonful at a time. As long as no more dirt is added, the barrel will eventually be emptied. The faster you let him spoon out the dirt, the sooner the barrel will be emptied. Then the barrel can be filled with something good from God. You need to fight the fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, and finish whatever God has set before you to get a crown of righteousness within your lifetime. You may be in the Spirit now, while everything is comfortable at a low level of pressure. However, you need at least one trophy of overcoming sin under pressure as you see the day approaching. The crown of life is a spiritual qualification given to anyone following Christ on the narrow way, that resist the temptation to use their mind to come to the truth. John 16 and verse 13. The devil uses ways that seem right, Proverbs 14:12. So only the narrow way leads to life. Wicked and lazy servants without a spiritual education at the end will be cast into outer darkness when Jesus comes back for his bride, Matthew 25 and verse 30. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 17. Because thou says, I'm rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye silver, that thou mayest see. If you are not clothed at his appearing, you'll be left outside. Matthew 22, verses 11 to 13. If you have no pressure, no ongoing bills to pay, a comfortable life with no enemies, you can lose your soul, Luke 12, 20 to 21. By going through trials, you will have many rich experiences of God's provision instead, and clothes fit for heaven. Do not close your heart to God and his education system. Everything behind closed doors becomes damp, wretched, and rotten. You cannot take anything with you to heaven. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. Whatever you hold lightly and do not treasure now for the sake of following Christ is sent on ahead. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Those afraid of godly authority and correction need to anoint their eyes with eye salver, as conviction is a blessing, and you need to see it that way. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 1 to 3. This is John 14, I'm reading verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Every great building needs a proper foundation. The foundation for those being made perfect in Christ is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. By repenting of just bad works, you may get a small villa in heaven with a shallow foundation. Jesus went from crowds of 4,000 and 5,000 and had just 120 followers at the end of his ministry on earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. Afterwards he told the disciples he was preparing a mansion for them because they patiently endured his teachings for 3 years and followed when others left just because of the hard sayings. Designs for a mansion can be drawn up for anyone now that submits to God and deeply repents of using their mind to make decisions. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Your heart and mind will be troubled if you do not live and function in the kingdom of God all the time. To serve God acceptably, you need three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The devil gives you counterfeits, so you become lazy. To confirm you have the peace that passes all understanding, you will need to pass through some fiery trials before time runs out. The joy of pleasing God under pressure flows from his heart over into yours through the gift of eternal life. If you do not have a joy that comes from pleasing God by faith in these last days, you'll be tempted to sin when things get uncomfortable for the flesh. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Anyone born again making decisions with their own mind is not a living sacrifice for God. Do not ask God to be on your side. Those submitted to God and following his instructions are already on his side. Jesus is the architect and finisher of our faith through endurance. If your mind is being renewed, you believe pressure is good. You also believe Jesus is Lord and his kingdom will remain forever because it's not corrupt. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15, I'm reading to verse 26. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Verse 18, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should be not be spoken to them any more. Verse 20, but they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The word rejected in Strong's is number 593. It comes from two other words which means to disapprove, that is, by implication, to repudiate, disallow, or reject. Thinking about this temporal life is unwise. Matthew 6 and verse 25. In this world now, you need to look up. Luke 21 and verse 28, and fix your affections on doing things Christ did under pressure to please God. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2. By listening to your flesh and becoming bitter about God's choices for your life, or comparing yourself to others, you'll be rejected. The only warning you have under the new covenant is the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, or by listening to a still small voice. There is no better messenger. There'll be no fiery manifestations on Mount Sinai or an earthquake to wake you up from your sleepy version of Christianity. For those that just do what they want when they want, there is nothing left but judgment and fiery indignation at the end. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. You get a warning from those saints made perfect that hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit consistently. So listen to them. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse 5, now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. The word earnest in Strong's is number 728. It comes from an original Hebrew word, a pledge. That is a part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest, an earnest. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 3, on the first works, on pages 60 and 61, Joseph Hedgecott writes, your earthly vessel includes spirit, mind, soul, and body. Compare this to a computer which has a hard drive, software programs, a keyboard, etc. As the operator, you use the keyboard to control what the computer does. However, if the program's already in place through the software, the programs themselves need to be changed. Your mind controls your body. Your spirit controls your mind. If your mind is not renewed, it will respond to what was programmed in it already. What you believe in your heart is downloaded into your mind, and it has authority to run unless you repent and renew your thoughts. When a thought or behavior shows up from your programming, you need to set boundaries to help you examine what you have authorized to function. If you no longer authorize it because God has convicted you, you can remove it through repentance. Then download, receive, and believe what the mind of Christ authorizes in your spirit and thoughts. Through consistent practice, old things will pass away and all things will become new. Number one, flesh can be completely mortified. The Holy Spirit will convict you until your flesh is completely dead and stays in the grave. It's not enough to die to the flesh for a moment. You must kill it and make sure it stays dead. If it begins to rise up, do whatever is necessary to keep it from gaining any control in your life. Your flesh will always hinder you from following God's plan. When you kill it, it will try to gain place in your life again if you do not continuously monitor it. The devil may tempt you to get in the flesh, but you do not have to obey him. In the spirit, you can mortify your flesh and close the doors to Satan. Number two, purify your faith. God continuously purifies your faith. As your faith is purified, do not let your flesh rise up to contaminate it again. You have hindrances to your faith. Everyone does. If any thought, doctrine, or conclusion contradicts what you know to be the truth, do not give it a voice. Your entire inheritance is received by faith. You cannot please God without it. Hebrews 11:6. Your faith activates everything in the kingdom of God. Examine what hinders your faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any doubt or unbelief that is rooted in lies. You should not release your faith into anything that has not been proven by the Word and witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. This is an ongoing work and must be maintained throughout your life. Verse number three, the value of your inheritance. God wants you to qualify for your full inheritance in this lifetime, as well as in eternity. God will begin to reveal your inheritance that is available now, and he will teach you what you need to do to qualify for it. If you're waiting for a glorified body so you can obey perfectly, you're deceiving yourself. If you cannot obey perfectly now, you will not get a glorified body. What you do now under pressure determines your position in eternity. God gave everyone the earnest of the Spirit so they could establish Jesus as Lord and produce the fruit of the Spirit in humble circumstances. If you're waiting for an outpouring of the Spirit, you will not get much. If you're unfaithful with the earnest, Luke 16 and verse 10, The deposit of the Spirit allows everyone to function in his kingdom now without using man's ways of doing things. To be part of his kingdom, you have to be called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17 and verse 14. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30 to 32. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 32. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Jesus was justified and declared righteous because he did everything without consulting his own will. Your will can be deleted from your mind and heart. If your will and preferences are in your conscious mind, you will constantly refer to them. Satan can make you a prisoner, consulting your own will again and again in complicated situations. Christ will fill heaven and earth with himself. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. And there be no room to hide for anyone consulting their own will. Forget yourself and your own interests and trust God with all your heart as he knows best. Luke 9 and verse 23. Everything coming together for good in your life, Romans 8:28, is also witness that you are doing the acceptable work of the Father, just like Jesus did. Paul wrote in Romans 13 and verse 14. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Clothe yourself with Christ through the earnest of the Spirit, and do not be lazy. The devil has no access to someone in the Spirit doing consistently what God directs them to do, in thought, purpose, and action. Sin is invited, and so is the devil. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. If you try to serve two masters, Matthew 6 and verse 24, your calling will take longer and your faith will become hypocritical. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Verse 2. Ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3. For inasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Whenever we get something new, we are told to read the instructions. The world is in a hurry, solving problems with just earthly wisdom. If you have changed through repentance, others can read and see how your life operates without doing the things that they do from their own reasoning. They will see you rejoicing without worldly comforts and serving the lust of the flesh, for example. Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. Jesus brought grace and truth. John 1 and verse 17. So those born again, responding to conviction, could grow up spiritually under pressure. Jesus was praying in John 17, verses 1 to 3. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And these words spoke Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. On the night before Jesus died, he prayed for you and for me to be faithful to the truth by the Spirit. John 10:17-20. If you cannot obey the Holy Spirit in thought, purpose, and action, sin will continue to separate you from God, and you'll never get to know the Father. Through deep repentance, submit to God and his word, James 4:7, and make it your goal to find one hindrance a day why you cannot do exactly what God says without making any excuses. Jesus paid the price, so you will get to know the Father personally. And the Father is no respecter of persons. In Christ there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1. The worst sinner can use the gift of eternal life and ask God more questions. This gift only works when you are in the Spirit. You may know facts about Jesus and the Father and still not know him in the same way two people can, going through a struggle together. Jesus will declare to many church leaders at his appearing that he never knew them personally. Matthew 7:22-23. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 26:31-33. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting in verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. The word offended in Strong's is number 4624, meaning to scandalize, from another word meaning to entrap, that is to trip up, figuratively to stumble, or to entice, to sin, apostasy or displeasure, or make to or offend. Without the Spirit indwelling, those disciples only had the grace to follow Christ up to the cross. Now, everyone born again today has grace to take up your cross daily. Immature believers blame the devil when something stops working. However, if you are not taking up your cross daily, you will eventually be overcome and tempted after being drawn away through the lust of the flesh. James 1:14-15. Judas Iscariot was enticed to betray Christ after he saw Jesus let the harlot pour expensive perfume over him that could have been sold, and the money given to the poor. Mark 14:4-10. Others also watching at the time became angry but repented. We read in Genesis 2:19-22. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 2. I'm reading verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found any help meet for him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. Jesus picked the disciples as the Father directed him. God knows everything, but put the kingdom in the hands of his Son, because like a little child, kept to the plan and never sinned. Adam named all the creeping things around him in a matter of hours after creation. He had no experience but named them based on thoughts appearing in his mind like a little child, because he was not separated from God at that time through sin. The names Adam gave were acceptable to God. And when God created woman from one part of man, Adam discovered that he already had everything he needed to function as God intended, but he was not using it properly. Jesus will give names to his own people that overcome sin, written in a white stone, because they were like him and did not hinder his work by getting in the flesh right up to the end of their lives. Revelation 2 and verse 17. Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm reading verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Jesus came to save the lost, living in darkness and using their minds to come to the truth. Matthew 18 and verse 11. If you want to keep following Christ and not deny or betray him as things get worse, use the gift of eternal life that you have been given. The church may fill up in the last days as stress is increasing, but those born again who want to be ready for his appearing need to get on the narrow way before time runs out. Do not rely on your carnal mind to come to the truth, or you will be offended at God and others. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You may have been baptized in water, but did you move out of the old nature into the new? If you still want to make the final decisions yourself, you have not been baptized into Christ. Jesus functioned as the Son of God and as the Son of Man without using his divine nature. He trusted the Father with his whole life, all the way to the cross, and was directed by him on what to do consistently by the Spirit, and never sinned. He pleased the Father by faith alone. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Sin was dwelling in Paul because he was trying to keep the law from the natural realm. Romans 7 and verse 20. Without a willingness or human spirit like Christ has, that is submitted completely to God with the gift of eternal life, you still belong to yourself and the devil. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God by the Spirit. If you're always listening to the flesh and doing what it wants, you will die. Also, you are spiritually dead, and the Spirit is not dwelling in you, even if you are born again. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The world passeth in Strong's is number 5235. It comes from two other words, which means to throw beyond the usual mark, that is figuratively to surpass. Only it means to exceed or excel or be exceeding. In session 9 of the 2020 SOLM online summer conference, Joseph Hedgecott, speaking about his attitude to getting to the truth, said this: but it never entered in my mind that I'm not going to obey God, because I love him. And if it's possible, I'm going to do anything I possibly can to obey God. But you can only do so much. And I just couldn't do it. So, when I still couldn't do it, one of the smarter things I did was that, I shared earlier, I didn't make excuses. I went to the mirror and I started asking God, what's wrong with that guy looking at me in the mirror? I would get answers and I could make adjustments, either receive something or repent of something, and things would move along a little further. Then if it gets stuck, I would go back to the mirror and I'd get more revelation on what the hindrance was. I'd adjust it and I'd go a little bit further, get stuck and go again. Experiencing his love in a meeting, worshipping God and getting knocked off your feet is not the same as being filled with the fullness of God. Only by having the same consistent love Christ had for God and his every word will you be eventually filled with the fullness of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and I'm reading verse 8. Love never fails. But where there are be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The minimum pass mark in God's school is 100%, because it's not based on knowledge. Man without God starts at the beginning, trying to understand everything with his mind first. God, however, starts at the end, because he knows everything. The missing ingredient to obey God is God's love. If you are trusting God with all your heart, love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Occasionally, someone gets something right that they have never done before by having a right motive and attitude to help others with just a little bit of God's love by grace. However, God resists the proud, so you'll not get very far if you become high-minded. You can be filled with his love if you let go and let God do what he wants to do through you in every area of your life and follow his instructions. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what have you experienced through the Holy Spirit that proves that what you did was acceptable to him? Give three examples. Number two, in what areas of your life have you used the earnest of the Spirit to do the will of God? Give three examples. Number three, give an example of where you were failing before and how you have overcome and obeyed perfectly through removing what was not acceptable to God. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. You can be accepted or rejected at its appearing. If you resist the chastening as a believer, you will appear at the great white throne with the rest of the world. 1 Corinthians 11, 31-32. The world is passing away now for the sake of his children. So diligently ask God the small things. Repent of small mistakes under pressure, and you will also find bigger issues for repentance. Doors that were closed off for a long time to God, where you have committed spiritual adultery and given the devil access through the lust of the flesh, will be opened. Pressure is good for you. If the situation has become more complicated recently through this world passing away, then rejoice. Father, I commit your people into your hands. I pray that they will take every opportunity in these last days to hear your voice and to do what you tell them to do, that they will enjoy your wisdom and your guidance, that if they have to endure or go through things, that you will give them even more wisdom and more understanding as they trust you in that situation. That, Father, you will deepen their relationship with you so that when you come back and you send your son to get them, they will be ready. Father, I commit them into your hands in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.